In this episode, you won't believe the chance video marketing encounter I had on an airplane. I answer two audience-submitted questions, and I talk to you about LinkedIn developments and natively uploaded videos. What? It's going down on this episode of Video Marketing Mastery.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery. Brought to you by Wirebuzz.
What's happening? All right, in a moment, I'm going to share the latest news that matters to video marketing masters. But first, you may recall back in episode 96, way back then, I told you about why University of Central Florida kicker Donald De La Haye, he'd been asked by the university to stop creating videos for his YouTube channel because he was earning some advertising money, and as a college athlete, he could lose his amateur status and be ruled ineligible. Well, you're not going to believe this, but on Friday, I was flying to Orlando for a speaking conference, and I sat in an aisle seat on Southwest, which is how I roll, right? And guess what? Donald had the window seat. What? Literally, the college football kicker that I just told you about, who made national news when the university asked him to give up his video marketing passion for now, sat next to me on my flight. How crazy is that, right? And when the dust settles, I hope you'll hear Donald on this podcast. Not now, but down the road. You know, when things settle and life gets a little bit easier and people aren't breathing down his neck. Got it? The kid was super respectful about his university. He loves his coach and his teammates, and he wants to be a part of that team and to watch the team succeed. And we were just thrilled to get to spend some time with him and to see somebody who has pure passion for creating really cool, compelling videos. You know, his style of video is what is considered vlog style, where he takes you inside the world of a college football player. And from that style of video, he does a really good job. And I'll make sure that you get a link to some of his videos from the USA Today story. How's that sound, right? All right, it'll be on the show notes page, I promise. And I sure didn't forget you. I made sure to get a photo with Donald and I sitting on the airplane. I'm going to put that on the show notes page. You're going to want to see my mug and him. And when you look at the photo of him, by the way, the lady in the center, neither of us talked to at all. We just talked right over her, but I'm just joking about that. But you're going to see that he's got his laptop out. And what is he doing on his laptop? And he's crushing a video that he's editing, right? My kind of guy. He's an OKG, right? Our kind of guy here at Wirebuzz. And what prompted him to start having this conversation with me? You would think that Gregarious Todd would want to reach out and say, "Hey, dude, I see you're editing video. What are you doing?" But instead, I'm wearing a beautiful University of Arizona sweatshirt on the airplane, and he wanted to talk to me about college basketball. Can you blame him? Me neither. All right, on that same exact flight, I don't know, I must have been part of some kind of blind case study on what births happiness, because I was basically in a test tube, an airplane, that had over 35 smiling, love-centered traveling Buddhists from India. Happiest plane in the entire world. I posted a photo on the show notes page also that you can see of the Buddhists getting on the airplane. The entire aisle are dudes that are smiling that just want to bring more light into the world. Pretty cool. By the way, if you ever want to get access to these events in real time, you know, as I'm traveling around the country speaking and the people that I meet and meeting with clients when I'm sharing a tip or a trick along the way, well, make sure you subscribe to the Wirebuzz Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter accounts, and you probably won't miss a thing along the way. While I was in Orlando, I spent time with keynote speaker and sales guru Dan Lear, who you just heard about in episode 103. And if you heard that episode, you know that I was in Los Angeles on the beach in Hermosa, and Dan and I did the interview there. But coincidentally, Dan and I were both scheduled to be speaking at the conference, and so Dan and I ran into each other just a couple days later on the other coast, the right coast, and it was pretty cool to see him again. His great tips, 103, on being a superstar salesperson, is accessible to you. You won't want to miss that if you missed it the first time around. And I also met a member of the Chicago Cubs organization who let me take photos with his massive, which is an understatement, World Series ring. Now, have you heard of the Cubs curse, the curse of the Billy Goat? Well, the curse of the Billy Goat was a sports-related curse supposedly placed on the Chicago Cubs Major League Baseball franchise in 1945 by Billy Goat Tavern owner, whose Billy Goat was refused entry into Wrigley Field. Now, that curse, the curse of the Billy Goat, lasted for 71 years from 1945 all the way to this last baseball season of 2016 until the Cubs broke the curse and they won the World Series. Well, in honor of breaking that curse, the Cubs organization stamped a Billy Goat, literally a Billy Goat, into the inside of their World Series rings that they gave to the players and everybody in the organization. And I made sure to take photos of it, the Billy Goat and the ring, for you. Just go to wirebuzz.com/104 to see those photos. Oh, and then there's this. You know, while having lunch with fellow speakers Dan Lear, who's a two-time college basketball championship winner, and former NBA Utah Jazz center Mark Eaton, who some of you may remember from those John Stockton, Carl Mailman Malone days, Eaton owned the center. He was a dominant big man in the NBA. Somebody got the bright idea while we were sitting there having lunch together to take a photo of us rock stars together. And first of all, you need to know that Dan's a tall dude. He's 6'8". Mark Eaton, he's 7'4", right? And then there's me, rocking the point guard position. Todd Hartley, 5'9", out of Arizona. Now this photo, which you just have to see, is also on the show notes page. It's probably my favorite and least favorite photo of all time, because every time I look at it, literally every time, I have two completely different reactions. First, I'm just humiliated by how friggin' short I look. And then I start laughing because the photo's ridiculous. And these two things keep happening, one right after the other. Humiliation to my core, laughter to my core, humiliation, laughter, until finally I push myself away and I just can't look at the photo anymore. You're not going to want to miss this mess. It's a hot mess. Wirebuzz.com/104 is where you're going to find that photo. And when you see it, pay special attention to how I'm posing like the boss, right? Like I own these guys that are twice as tall as me. And when I shared the photo with my mom, she replied back via text saying, "Is the other short guy your friend Dan?" To which I replied, "Mom, Dan's 6'8". He's never been called the other short guy. But Mom, that's awesome. Thank you. It's a train wreck photo, and you're going to need to see it, guys. It's really, really odd." Friend of the podcast and the world's leading Google reporter, Barry Schwartz, is reporting, quote, "Google is now showing both videos and recipe data within the image search results." Now, this is something Google was testing earlier in the year and now seems to have developed it on mobile search. Quote, "You can now mark up your video and recipe content so it's accessible in image search." It's pretty cool, right? To see this for yourself, go to Google on your mobile phone. Do a search for the keywords shown above. Now, here are the keywords, all right? Type in Coal, C-O-A-L, last week, tonight, all right? Those four words, Coal, last week tonight. Do that search in the in Google Images on your mobile phone and click the image results. Then click on some of the images and you should see that some of them are videos in there, which is pretty cool. Now, if you want to try it for a recipe, go to the images and go to Google Images and type in, instead of that Coal thing that I gave you a moment ago, type in baked ziti. Z-I-T-I. And in Google Images, it'll also pull up recipes. Pretty cool. It's about time they did something new with Google Images. Candidly, I spend a good portion of... Christo, get over here. I just saw your reaction. The audience needs to hear it. All right, Christo, tell me what just happened.
I did. The second you said this, I'm like, I have to do this on my phone. And sure enough, the first image comes up with a Food Network recipe for baked ziti. I was trying to get the last week tonight one.
Coal, C-O-A-L, last week tonight. And while Christo's doing this, you should know that when he saw the recipe, his jaw hit the floor like he had just seen the light. And
Cole, Last Week Tonight does the same thing. There's a little watch now button. Takes me right to YouTube to watch the video. Right. So very cool.
All right. What I like about this is what they're really doing is recognizing that people want video. And they're just figuring out different parts of Google where video doesn't exist. And they're becoming video first and they're pulling video forward. And before you know it, more video for you and for your target customers. Pretty nice, right? Cool. And wait, here comes Christo. Christo has something to add.
No, I think it's cool because usually when I'm doing Google image searches, I'm looking for something else too. So like the follow-up information, usually it like takes you to some web page that you don't really care about. So this is really like useful and actionable. So like if I'm looking for an image of something, like maybe they could do this with travel, Eiffel Tower, and it just tells you like when the next plane to Paris is.
Right. Hey, quick question for you. Don't sit. How often do you use Google Images?
Pretty often. I mean, when we're building decks and doing presentations, I usually need to pull some images for that. So I'm, you know, we're in there pretty often.
Like every day often?
I would say a couple times a week.
Okay. I'm literally in Google Images maybe 5 times a day, every day, including the weekend, because I'm always working on pulling together a little pitch deck. Sometimes I'm looking for something that's just an exact image. And other times, I often use reuse images, where you go and you can select the modifier inside of Google Images for images that you have permission to reuse without permission. And that's a really cool thing. The other thing I do often is I go in and I am searching for news on the main Google portion of Google, and I will toggle by like within the last hour or within the last 24 hours, because I wanted to filter out the things that are old news. Pretty cool. Good on you, Google. Good job. Hey, a special thank you to listener Jennifer R., who DM'd me and said, Todd, what do I do if my boss is asking me to increase the effectiveness of our website traffic, but he still is undecided about using video? Hey, Jennifer, thanks for the question. You know, if your boss is not yet convinced about the effectiveness of video, he's a latecomer. I mean, at this point, it's a foregone conclusion that video is the most powerful tool on the internet, but let's be easy on him. If your boss is nearby, make sure you play this next paragraph for him or so. And if not, just save it for him, because it's important that he knows even yesterday in Forbes. Forbes traditionally has not been a website that deals with video or YouTube or social media. Forbes is a business site, right? Well, Lindsay Safford wrote, quote, not sure if you want to incorporate video into your strategy. Well, let me share some statistics to help you make a decision. Video viewers retain 95% of a message when they watch it on video, compared to 10% when reading it in text. The increase in click-through rate with video is as high as 96%, and videos are shared 1,200% more times than links and text combined. And now, if I take this one step further for you and your boss, Jennifer, when your prospects watch your business videos, they're 144% more likely to buy. Now, if you increased each of your prospects' memory, if you could do that, so they could retain 95% of your message compared to text, where they only remember 10%, what would that do for your business? You know, prospects have to remember your product in order to make a purchase, right? So would increasing their memory about your product be valuable to your company? If you could increase your social media click-through rates as high as 96% from people who see it and watch the video to come to your website, and you increased the shareability of your information 1,200% more than links and text combined, you'd be optimizing the effectiveness of your traffic that you're already receiving, right? Is that valuable to your business? So if you're optimizing how people get to your site and how they remember your product and then make a purchase, isn't that, and this is talking directly to Jennifer's boss, isn't that what you asked Jennifer to do with your marketing team? The big picture here is the reason your existing marketing is underperforming, the reason you aren't happy with how your existing traffic is because you're trying to educate people with text, also known as the form of content your target customers are the least interested in learning from. If I offered my puppy the wrong type of treat, he's not going to follow my command. It's just that simple. I watched it. I actually handed him a bison treat, which sounds like doggy gold, right? But he like looked at it and kind of shrugged his nose. And he was like, I'm better than bison treat. So I went to the next one and I handed him a little venison treat. And he was like, no, I don't really want that. I'm not even going to bother to smell it. Then I reached in the bag and I grabbed out the salmon treat, and the dog would have rolled over and shaken. He would have, if I said, go to your spot, he'd run into the corner and go stand on his spot until I gave him a treat, right? When you do the same with your target customer, when you offer them the right type of content, they take the right type of action. Reading's hard, and watch, especially for my dog. And watching video is easy. It's effortless. And sales, hey, it's just like romance. If you're trying to convert tonight when you get home, bow, bow, chicka, bow, wow, and your partner already told you that they don't like your shirt, you think you look fat in that shirt, would you change your shirt? Of course you would. And if you aren't using video and you're relying on text to educate your customer to buy, you're making the same mistake. No love for you. You don't deserve it. Always make it easy for your target customers to make a buying decision. You know what's easy? A 4-to-1 advantage. That's right. People are 4 times more likely to watch a business video than read text. And if you aren't preparing your business to be highly competitive, your competitors will. Now go do the right thing. You hired Jennifer, you hired your team to create business advantages for you. Stop getting in the way. Clearly, if you're listening to this right now, Jennifer knows the right decision to make. And it's obvious. Video is the most powerful business tool available, but your business has been relying on text for far too long, which is the lowest ROI content. And no wonder you aren't impressed with the results. People don't want to read. It's hard and slow, and you're losing people along the way. So even if your traffic is high quality, your conversion process is low quality. How many prospects are you willing to lose before you give Jennifer the ability to be successful for you, right? If you could increase your sales by, let's take something very conservative, by 20%, how much would that be worth to you? Seriously, you are starting to think about it now, right? You should be. And if you could increase sales by 20% right now, how much would you be willing to pay Jennifer for bringing you to that solution? It's just that easy. If you want to get access to this Forbes story that I referenced early, it'll be on the show notes page. Good information there. And if you really want to learn how to guarantee your videos generate ROI, I created a 5-part video mini course for you that shares my secrets. And you can access that mini course for free at wirebuzz.com/ROI. By the way, Jennifer, if your boss is still listening, this part's for him, all right? Did you notice how my 5-part mini course was created in video? Do you know why I chose video? Because it routinely gets the best results. So even I'm drinking my own Kool-Aid, got it? And since I started using video to lead my mini course, I've 10x'd my engagement. Despite the holiday that we just went through, where it resulted in a 5% dip to our website traffic, we experienced a massive 96% increase in our website conversion rate over the last few weeks, over the holiday week. Most of our extra conversions are coming directly from our video mini course. I paid for that video mini course to be produced once, and now it cranks out leads 24/7, even when I'm on the beach with my wife on a holiday vacation, crushing Mai Tais with sand between my toes. That mini course is cranking out leads. So the people that are learning about me just got 10 times more valuable to me. So don't be a dummy. Get out of the way. Let your team lead. And if you want to grow your business, if you want to increase your sales and decrease the amount of time it takes for someone to go through your buyer's journey, it's time to start leveraging video to increase your return on investment. So where should you get started? Well, I just read last night in a TechCo article, and let's just take two steps back. If you're just starting to think about using video on your site or for your business, where do you get started? Well, this TechGo article says that users are 85% more likely to buy a product if that product is introduced by an explainer video. That's a high-level overview video that's short, it's compelling, and it's succinct. You want to get that TechCo article? Wirebuzz.com/104. And that's where I'd get started. Right after I laid out a very smart video marketing strategy that incorporates tactics, digital online tactics into your website, the video script, the tactics, the strategy, it needs to be baked into that script. The produced video needs to have those tactics in there, like the call to action button and your ad targeting. Starting with strategy is vital for your campaign's ultimate success. Lots of people just wing it. Don't ever wing it. I never recommend that. What did the legendary college basketball coach John Wooden used to say? He said, quote, failure to prepare is preparing to fail. So do the right thing the first time. Start with a smart strategy and you'll be very impressed with the results that video creates. Hey, while I've got your boss's ear, let me make something else very clear to him, okay? Jennifer, just step aside for 2 seconds. I'm gonna help you move mountains. If you decide to add video into your website, please understand that if you're focused on results, if that's your goal, if you're pushing Jennifer to create results for these videos, shopping by price for your video production will not be an efficient strategy for selecting the right video creators, okay? The reason is anybody can create a video. Everybody's got a camera in their back pocket now. There's lots of TV commercial guys out there that would love to drop their price in order to get your project. Some kid who lives on your street who has a camera in his back pocket, they're willing to do the job for free. But knowing how to create a television commercial or shooting a YouTube video is not going to help you generate more revenue. It's a different skill set. The person you should hire needs to know how to create a really tactical, smart digital strategy for that video. They need to know how to make smart recommendations for that video's landing page and the right technology that you need to use on your website and how to bake that call to action into your video, into the tools, and also into your tracking software. An easy way to think about a business video is basically a passenger train, right? In theory, it should take your target customers through a buyer's journey, in theory. But if you look at a passenger train, it doesn't really go anywhere, right? You got to lay it out, but that's all it is. It moves people from one point, like point A, all the way to make a buying decision at the end of the road. But without that strategic path or the train tracks incorporated into your digital strategy and into your website, that video, sure, it'll play, but nobody will be able to get anywhere. Just like a train that's stuck in the mud without laying out the tracks first. A video without tracks works on TV. It works in the old paradigm because the network used to distribute it. An online video is a little different. Without incorporating digital strategy, well, the strategy is what makes that train move. People won't go anywhere if you don't do the strategy. You'll be disappointed with the results. And that's the results you'll get when you hire a TV video guy. They'll have no clue how to advise you. So make sure the person you hire is a digital marketer that specializes in video. And there are very few of us in this big blue earth of ours. To most people, a business video is a marketing tool. But to me, it's a little bit different because I understand the digital tactics. I understand the digital tools that makes the video pull people through to conversion. It's a sales tool for me. And when you hire somebody, really dig deep. Is their best skill making the video? Or is the best skill incorporating a killer video all the way through the strategy to conversion? Got it? All right. Now go take on the day. All right, Jennifer, I hope that helps. I hope I didn't embarrass you in front of your boss. If your boss doesn't end up getting video after that, just give me a call. We'll try to set you up with a boss that understands it already. All right? I mean it, Jennifer. You're better than that. All right. So I got another email. This one is from Jeff. All right. We're going to call Jeff H. All right. He He says, good morning, Todd. Just listening to episode 95 and love the layering conversation about how the additional layer takes audiences deeper. Brilliant, man. I've got a question or a challenge for you. He goes on to say, Todd, we're doing a fair amount of live streaming video for churches. It's a good news, bad news kind of a thing. Virtual audience, reach, content building. But one of our locations is experiencing a 30% reduction in audience and donations on Sunday. It's a new platform for us, and monetizing it reminds me of what the early days of TV must have been like. Would love to get your thoughts on the approach. Thanks in advance, Todd, for cranking out the episodes that make me want to stay at the gym longer so I can get in two episodes instead of one. Jeff, I love it, man. I listen, as you probably know, to podcasts at the gym or on my run. Let me see if I can knock this thing down. I'm actually going to work backwards on this. I want to talk about the 30% reduction in attendance and donations on Sunday in a moment, all right? What I really want to spend a few moments on is talking about the live streaming of church for churches, which I think is absolutely brilliant, okay? Candidly, this might be a little bit TMI about Todd, but I find a deeper connection to God when I'm not in church, and I'm sure some people feel that way, okay? But I do have a very strong spiritual side, and I know that when I was in college, my big sister would send me from her church in San Francisco, which its name was Cornerstone. She would mail me actual physical tapes that would go into my tape cassette player, and I would listen to the sermon each week. Beautiful. I loved it. I still have about 50 of the tapes that she sent me. That's how powerful it was. Now, there's nothing different than when my sister would send me those tapes in the mail, or if you are sending it to people or they're live streaming it, all right? The most important thing to take into consideration when it comes to donations is there's a period in the church service, I'm sure, where you ask people to make a donation or tithe, and I want you to think about making sure that that is also available inside of the live stream experience. But that also means that you can't expect, this is just like having a video without a strategy. So I want you to make sure that when you do ask people for donations, you're giving them a way to donate, which means right next to the live video player, there should be a donate now button, and it should be incorporated into the live for people that are there in person and those that are watching either live in stream or on demand. In all three of those scenarios, you pass a hat. What is it? They pass like a basket, right? So they pass the basket and people throw their money in and it goes down the aisle, but you can't do that in a live stream or an on demand. So you got to put a donate button and you've got to call it out. For those of you that are watching at home or happen to be traveling that are watching remotely on your mobile device, make sure you hit the donate now button and we'll continue to provide these services for you. All right, Jeff, in closing, you know, I saw that you wrote about the 30% reduction in attendance for one location, and, you know, maybe that 30% reduction in one location was just an anomaly, right? It's hard for me to say. Naturally, I would think that if you started live streaming and providing this on demand, you would see a reduction in all locations, not just one, okay? The next thing is, I recall an article about Facebook and Facebook providing for Facebook Live on demand and live streams, a donation button. I want you to look for that, okay? If I see it before, I'm going to send it right to you because I still have your email address, but just Google it because I do remember reading it, and that may be a really good solution for you to prompt people towards the beginning and at the end in the live stream and on demand to make a donation. If you have any further questions, Jeff, don't hesitate, man. Reach out to me. Initially, I've already got follow-up questions in my head, but our favorite thing to do is to help people through the strategy so they don't see themselves going live and creating a problem like this that affects the bottom line. Make sense? All right, man, praying for you. In a sign that LinkedIn is interested in being relevant, I saw this yesterday in Marketing Land, quote, LinkedIn may be the last major social network to add a way for people to share videos natively, but It will share new information about the people who view those videos. What? So cutting edge? You mean you can actually LinkedIn track people that are watching your video content? Wow, right? LinkedIn will finally let people natively upload videos to the business-centric social network through its mobile app. On Thursday, LinkedIn started testing the feature with a small number of users in the United States whose natively uploaded videos will play automatically with the sound off when they appear in people's feeds. Now, people can disable videos from playing automatically in their account settings, but why in the world would you want to miss out on cat videos, right? The company plans to roll out the video sharing feature to all users worldwide in the coming months, according to a LinkedIn spokesperson. Now, this isn't the first time LinkedIn has let people post videos to the service. Last year, the company rolled out a separate app for its most influential users to post short videos. Think of this as being like dry run. LinkedIn dipping his toe in the water, thinking maybe business people would be interested in video. Going on with the Marketing Land article, they write, in bringing the video sharing option to its main app, LinkedIn will add a video camera icon next to the normal camera icon in the app's status update box. Now, people can click the new icon to record a video using LinkedIn's in-app camera or upload clips that are saved on their phone's camera roll. Now, if I was leading LinkedIn, I would make tracking the viewers of your video, their viewing video attention span, part of the premium monthly paid service, which I already pay for. And when I pay for it and you go to my LinkedIn profile, I can then see who went and looked at that every day, right? And who's looking at it. I can follow up and reach out to them and engage them. Or if I see it's a competitor, you know, whatever. By paying for that advanced service, that premium monthly, you get access to that. I wouldn't be surprised if LinkedIn started giving you access to view who's watching your videos and for how long. Cool. Hey, welcome to 2017, LinkedIn. Nice to have you. Now, look, if the big Zuck is going video first, right? Why does it take LinkedIn like almost a full year to read that Zuck is saying he sees video as a mega trend and he's going to put video first in all of their apps? And then you start to see how Instagram is taking off because of video and how Facebook's becoming a video juggernaut rivaling with YouTube. Who is leading the LinkedIn ship that waited this long to start incorporating video, right? It's a little on the embarrassing side, but if we learned anything from Facebook taking on YouTube and creating its own video app, if you remember, Facebook decided to devalue the YouTube video player. And what it did is it prioritized the Facebook video player. And the most recent stats that I saw was that if you uploaded a video natively into Facebook, you would get 258% greater reach with those videos than if you uploaded that video to YouTube, took the embed information or the short link and added it into your post. So the way that Facebook set it up, Facebook already created a winner and a loser and knew that eventually it might take 6 months, but they're going to train users, 2 billion people, to think video first, upload natively into Facebook, you'll get better results. And if I was leading those box of rocks at LinkedIn that waited this long to do it, I'd give them the same advice. Prioritize the results. Give greater exposure to people that play by your rules, that want to upload video natively into the LinkedIn app, and reward them with greater reach. That's how it's done. All right, let's talk about Hollywood for a moment. You know, I grew up in LA, and Hollywood just never resonated with me. Honestly, I felt zero connection, and these celebrities are treated like gods at every restaurant we would go to. And I'm so much more interested in normal people that my favorite buying time in public game to play is called celebrity lookalikes. I literally get excited when I'm at the gym and that one dude who always wears white and pastels that has the blow-dried hair that poofs into the back that looks like Barry Manilow, like when Barry Manilow is at the gym. That's when I'm excited, right? And in my head, I'm singing Barry Manilow songs. And growing up in LA, I knew lots of people with very little practical life skill that ended up becoming stars. Like when I was a kid, Quentin Tarantino was my video store clerk. You know, I've shared this once before on the podcast. And when I worked as a news reporter, whenever I watched the news on topics I was covering, reporters just got the news totally wrong. So disillusioned, I'm at the point where I'm constantly expecting the media to just get it wrong the first time and then to not go back and correct it. So when I read this headline, quote, Tarantino prepping Manson murder movie, I thought, I bet it's a love story. You know, the media is just that bad. And whenever I read a purposely misleading news story, it makes me wonder, who's paying these reporters under the table? Well, anyway, in totally unrelated news, the Wall Street Journal had an interesting article about the kings of Menlo Park, Google. The journal reports Google operates a little-known program to harness the brain power of university researchers to help sway public opinion and public policy, cultivating financial relationships with professors at campuses from Harvard University to University of California, Berkeley. Harvard to Berkeley. That's basically Boston to San Francisco, which is another way of saying the entire fucking country. The journal goes on to say, over the past decade, Google has helped finance hundreds of research papers paying stipends of $5,000 to $400,000. Now, some researchers share their papers before publication and let Google give suggestions. I do that with air quotes. According to thousands of pages of emails obtained by the journal and public record requests from more than a dozen university professors. Now, the professors don't always reveal Google's backing in their research. A few disclose their financial ties in subsequent articles on the same or similar topics, the journal found. And if Google is doing this, maybe Facebook is doing this too. And maybe, just maybe, Zuck got a little spooked by the administration. Remember, in a past episode, I was telling you that he was posturing like he was running for president. But maybe Zuck got a little spooked by the administration and was going to try, when he thought that maybe the government was going to try and break up Facebook into multiple companies, maybe that's why Zuck went to Ohio. No president could break up a company of their opposition, right? It's interesting. Let's keep a close eye on the kings of Menlo Park and see what they're doing with their money and how that pays out to research and where this is all going. Someday, we're all going to know what's really going on behind the scenes. Someday. Anyway, let's talk about Netflix. Oh, this is good. I saw it in Silicon Beat before I get started with this article. Have you heard about Assword sharing? Do you know what Assword sharing is? Assword sharing. Silicon Beat reported Assword sharing is when, for example, you give your Netflix sign-in credentials to someone else to use. Maybe it's your mother who somehow still manages to be unable to get her TV back to its regular channels after she flipped over to watch a few episodes of Bloodline. To this point, password sharing goes on. And Silicon Beat goes on to say, and it especially goes on among millennials. According to Reuters' opinion poll of 3,500 respondents who said that they streamed video content, 21% of those between the ages of 18 to 24 said they watched some kind of video streaming service by using someone else's sign-on information. The survey took place between June 8th and June 26th, so it's really, really new. And of the respondents between 25 to 34 years of age, only 15% said that they used another person's username or password to watch something from a subscription-based streaming network. Now, in the interest of full disclosure, my dad and I are Assword friends. I mean, I know that sounds weird, right? But we are Assword friends for a sports site. I'm not going to mention the sports site because, I mean, God forbid, I'm the one paying for it. I don't want to get my dad rounded up, right? He's kind of freeloading on me. He's an Assword user. And so my dad got one of these just standard type of notifications that said that he's been logged out because he hasn't logged in in a while. My dad called me thinking that the government was going to come to his house because he was using my account and we were Assword friends, right? And so I just had him re-log in. But I think everybody is doing it, including people in your office or in your home. And it's one of those situations, like Netflix allows you to have five other people on your account. Eventually, that number is going to have to go to four, right? And then eventually it'll go to three and then two and eventually nobody. And before you know it, everybody is going to have to get rid of each and every one of their dearest Assword friends. You know it's true. You'll find that article, wirebuzz.com/104. Oh, this is terribly interesting. I saw this in the Los Angeles Times. It's off topic, but you know what? It's still interesting. You're probably even going to tell somebody about this. The National Insurance Crime Bureau reported in its annual Hot Wheels survey of vehicles that were stolen that Honda's Civic and Accord were the most stolen vehicles last year. But the thieves aren't stealing just any Civics or Accords. The Bureau report said that Hondas from the late 1900s were the most targeted models, especially a 1997 Accord, which I owned, and a 98 Civic, which my grandmother owned. My grandmother owned a Civic, but I remember when she was in the retirement home, I remember hearing her lay into my grandfather, and she said, and Wendy, my wife, was there. We laugh about it all the time. She said to my grandfather, she said, "Bernie, my next car is going to be an Accord. I don't want a Civic anymore. I want to upgrade." So, even when you're born in the recession, you still know the difference between a Civic and an Accord. And this article then goes on to say that because those models were sold in very high volume, they were built well enough and still are on the road and didn't include a smart key technology that makes newer Hondas more difficult to steal. So what other aspect might have influenced or skewed these results, right? How about location? Maybe there's a larger number of older Hondas in neighborhoods where cars are more likely to get stolen. Anyway, I bring this up because reporters, like I used to be, are so bad at looking at some of the additional details. If these cars are still jamming on the streets, but now people that are living in neighborhoods that are less affluent have a lot of Honda Accords around from 1997 and 98 Civics, they're probably going to be experiencing higher numbers of vehicles being stolen. So anyway, media, they're the last people you want to believe. You know, I travel a lot, so I'm always using Uber and Lyft. And can we talk about the cultural ramifications of using a service and then paying for it digitally but not going through the motion of taking out your wallet? You know, my hotel in Orlando, it had a sushi bar in the lobby, which for me is, that's fine. I'm like, I'm good with that. And I'm often eating by myself at the bar, and I'm a quickly in and out kind of guy, and not the type that holds for it and knocks down a six-pack. And when I was done eating sushi on my trip to Orlando, I caught myself standing up, about to walk out physically without pulling out my wallet like I was in Uber or something. So strange. You know what else is strange? I have that TSA pre thing. At the airport, I go through security faster. You know what I mean, right? I travel a lot. It's one of those perks. Well, how trippy is this? I go so often, and I got so used to using the special lane for security. And as a frequent traveler, I use priority boarding that I'm always finding myself in faster prioritized paths, that I caught myself getting into the prioritized carpool lane on the freeway, and I was by myself, and it kind of tripped me out to be blending high occupancy vehicle benefits with my airport fast path stuff, right? That's kind of strange. That's just another of the new developing experiences that we're all getting when we're using technology and we just get into the flow of using it and not even thinking about how we have to pay or where, what lane we belong in, right? Kind of interesting. All right, I wanted to share that with you. A little off topic. All right, so in this episode, to give you a quick recap, we answered Jennifer's question about her boss not being sure if he's ready for video marketing, and we broke down that Smart Forbes article to talk about the advantages, the hyper advantages that video gives you. Jennifer, thanks so much for reaching out to us. I also answered Jeff's question about the church and some of the latest news, including what's developing on LinkedIn. Keep in mind, I know I was a little rough on LinkedIn, but I want you to use that. That's a great opportunity for you. Use it to your advantage. Be an early adopter. Don't wait to see other people doing it. Just go this week. Hey, try this. Upload a video into, if you have access to it, if they've rolled it out to you, upload a native video into LinkedIn this week. That's your action item. And then share it with me. Okay? Share it with me. The first couple of people that share that video from LinkedIn that's natively uploaded with me, I will mention it on the podcast. I will talk about your video, your piece of information. I'll spread the word. But I want to see who gets access to it first. Okay? It's such new news. I haven't even looked in my LinkedIn, and I was on LinkedIn earlier today, but I haven't looked to see on my mobile app if it's available for me yet. Let's see who gets access to that first. And then I broke down some of the latest news and information that'll help you be a smarter video marketer. And I told you about the University of Central Florida kicker who was on the airplane with me, and we talked about video marketing, Donald De La Haye. Right? You're going to want to keep an eye on him. His football season is coming up right now. The kid has been getting really remarkable emails from celebrities that are watching what's going on. There's going to be a great story we're going to be able to tell when the time is right. Stay tuned. You're going to hear it on an upcoming episode of Video Marketing Mastery. Jay Baer, and in this Jay Baer interview that you're going to watch because we filmed it, right? What? Video? You filmed it? Yes. And in that, you're going to learn that the Cheesecake Factory has three, count them, three talk triggers built into their operations that are so effective that their overall marketing spend is five times less than their competitors. Got it? You're going to want to hear that. And I reveal the two talk triggers that Wirebuzz has baked into our process that each and every one of our customers experiences. And I also tell you how they reply back to us every time we send them one of our talk triggers. Now, basically, a talk trigger is the way you get your customer, you trigger them to go around and rave about your product or service. All right. You're not going to want to miss that interview with Jay Baer. It's coming up in episode 105. It is fabuloso. And if you want to get access to our mini course where I teach the secrets on how to use video to guarantee ROI on your marketing spend, well, you're going to get access to it. It's free to the listeners of this podcast. And all you have to do is go to wirebuzz.com/ROI, which stands for, I hope you already intuitively know, return on investment. Right? You're going to want to learn from that course. It's really smart if I don't say so myself. And if this podcast was valuable to you, well, all you have to do is go to iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. Bang on that subscribe button. We'll send you each and every new episode direct to your mobile device. So when you're at the gym like Jeff, getting pumped up and getting huge, well, you could be learning in your brain at the same time and pumping that muscle too. All right? And let's see. I think that's about it. Oh, leave a really honest rating and review. Okay. I learn from everyone, everybody that posts. I read it to become a better marketer, and I will continue to do my job, which I'm really committed to making sure that you have the latest information in video marketing so you can better educate your prospects. And I'll do that each and every week for you. I've got a big interview coming up next week with Greg Jarboe. And what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the seven social networks and how you use video across each one of those platforms. You're not going to want to miss that next week. And geez, thanks for being patient with me now that I'm back from all my crazy travels. I'm about to go back on the road. But those of you that I promised I would send you a thank you video for following me on social, on Twitter, I'm in the process of doing it. I knocked down 50 today. I still have about another 150 to go, so be patient with me. I appreciate that very much. And if you followed me, but there's not a way for me to DM you, you're not going to get a video, right? Because I just can't spam my followers with a video, all right? Hope you understand. All the best to you. Look forward to giving you more information right here on Video Marketing Mastery.